So, good morning, everyone. Wrapping up the series this week, 40 days of formation, building holy. All right. So, last week we looked at Moses and his time in God's presence and the lessons that we can learn from him towards building holy habits in our lives. And this week we will look at the life of the greater Moses, Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of the Living God, a walk with Jesus in the wilderness. And what can we learn from the one who fulfilled the law? My prayer is that this week we will learn from the one who gave us all and not just learn from him, but follow him. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 reads, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." We see in the life of Jesus humility. We see in the life of Jesus the design of obedience. And as we look at his 40-day journey in the wilderness, we will see how after his baptism, God affirmed his call and he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 4, 3 to 4. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word written. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the word that came to earth as flesh. Father, as your word goes forth this morning, sharper than any two-edged sword, I pray that you would convict our thoughts, our attitudes, and that we would leave this place ready to do your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, our Redeemer. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. The wilderness season is about obedience, identity, and authority. The Spirit led Jesus into isolation before launching him into his public ministry. And wilderness seasons are not accidents. They are divine preparations. God often forms his servants in hidden places before visible impact takes place. And some of us have been resisting the very place where God has been trying to form us. I want to encourage us to develop the rhythm of intentional solitude with God. My wife reminded me I go too fast because nobody is able to complete the outlines, so I'm slowing down this week. Develop the rhythm of intentional solitude with God. We see rhythms of intentional solitude in the lives of men and women of faith. Remember, Jesus is our ultimate model in this pattern of intentional solitude. The question is not whether Jesus practiced this. The question is whether we will. Mark chapter 1, 35 reads, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke records, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus regularly withdrew from the crowds and from the demands of ministry to spend time with the Father. This practice is seen also in the lives of both biblical figures and modern followers of Christ. And if Jesus needed to withdraw, we should not make the mistake thinking we can survive spiritually without doing it. Psalm 63 reads, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you in a dry and weary land. We see in the life of Hannah, one of the mothers of the great priests, Hannah prayed silently before the Lord in deep anguish. Hannah, a woman of faith and mother of one of Israel's greatest priests, shows us the power of persistent prayer. And we also see that in the life of Esther, Queen Esther, she asks, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. Queen Esther fasted, prayed, spending time intentionally in solitude and inviting others to join her in this holy habit. So you don't have to do it by yourselves. You can invite others to partner with you as you fast and as you pray. Mother Teresa, one of our modern icons of the faith, started every single day with hours of dedicated prayer. Hours of dedicated silent prayer, modeling focus solitude. And these examples show us deep spirituality. Holy habits are forged in hidden moments with God. In the secret place, those are the moments in which these habits are formed. Some major rhythms that are developed in these moments are being faithful in small daily choices, showing integrity when no one else is watching, and choosing obedience over convenience. The Lord is working in our sanctification, but we have our part to play in building holy habits. How many of us in this room want to have public victories? Let me see a show of hands. Want to have public victories? Okay? Those start in the private surrender of the secret place. As small as they may seem, before you and I can make major moves of obedience, we have to build a rhythm of small, faithful decisions. As we spend faithful small portions of time in God's presence, it empowers us to build the muscle to make massive moves for Christ. So first, we have to spend time doing small things before we can do big things. Church, we don't just drift into holiness. You train for it. And if we can't spend time in the secret place with our Father, the one who gave it all to redeem us, how are we going to have the integrity to live faithfully on our own? When no one is there to support us, when you are off in your college dorm and temptation comes, how are you going to stand? Or when you're on the job and your boss promotes someone over you who you know doesn't deserve the promotion, how will you have the integrity to continue working as unto God and allow him to be your reward? When we are weary after a long, exhausting day, when every portion of our energy is sapped out and we can barely make it to bed, how can we choose what is obedient over what is convenient? You know what's convenient? Watching TV. You know what's convenient? Calling a friend and talking. You know what's convenient? Going to visit someone who you like spending time with. But living obediently by taking time to find solace in the scriptures, writing a few chapters, reading a few verses, meditating on a verse, memorizing scripture, staying still and praying, or just searching for some verses that speak directly to how you're feeling. Remember, Jesus said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." Private obedience always bears public fruit. And the fruit may not be immediate, but it will be evident. Mountains reveal calling. Wilderness proves character. And Jesus' character provides evidence of this. The rhythms of holiness we see present on display in his life, because he spent time in God's presence. Now we will build godly character through daily rhythms of holiness. Have I convinced anyone to spend more time in focused formation? Okay. Well, my goal here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to help us start taking small steps in building holy habits. Because you know what? Weak habits will never sustain a strong witness. Weak habits will never sustain a strong witness. And we see in the life of Jesus, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And these verses reveal so much about Jesus. Jesus was not off on his own mission. He was never about his own business. He was on the mission of his Father at all times, propelled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus fasted, and if we follow Jesus, we too need to follow these principles. It was Jesus who said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do when they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Not if you fast, but when you fast." We see Jesus' humanity in this as well. He was hungry. Very hungry. And we see an image of our high priest on display in that he can empathize with our weaknesses because he experienced it. You and I will get hungry when we fast. We'll get weak. And these are moments when we rely not on our own reserves. We have to tap into the power of God, his word, and his Holy Spirit through prayer. And some of us are not losing the battle because God is absent, but we are losing the battle because we neglect the habits that keep us near to him. The passage continues. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to come to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a high, very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. 40 days without food, 40 days without water, no pizza, no soda, and Jesus was famished. Then along came the tempter, because temptation often meets us where we are empty, tired, and vulnerable. If you reflect in your own lives, temptation comes when you are at your weakest, when you're tired, when you're at your wit's end. That's the time the tempter shows up. Jesus faced temptation, and so will we. The fast will empty us and expose us. Physical weak, but spiritually ready to confront the evil one. Where Moses received revelation, Jesus faced temptation. His appetite was tempted. Spectacle and power. Each temptation attacking Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Jesus answered each time with scripture. Not just once, not just twice, every single time he responded with scripture. Not based on his own emotions, not impulsively, not based on his own opinion, but with scripture. Everybody says fact. Everybody say fact. And if that is true, Jesus relying on scripture, then you and I need to do the same. Church attendance alone won't do it. We need a word-filled life. And if we learn anything today, let it be this. You cannot fight spiritual battles with your own strength, with your own intellect, or based on the resources you have. Why? If Jesus didn't, then you and I can't. Because we are in no way stronger than he is. We are in no way wiser than he is. And I assure you, he has much more resources than you and I do. Everybody say fact. His success depended on a spiritual formula. Jesus went directly to the word. He succeeded where Israel failed. And you and I will fail if we depend on anything other than Jesus and his word. So I encourage us to rely fully on Jesus and the truth of his word. Rely fully on Jesus and the truth of his word. Build a strong offense by studying, memorizing God's word. I would ask, what's your favorite scripture? I heard somebody over there.
Ephesians 3:20.
All right. Anybody else? Isaiah 41:10. All right. And if you don't have one yet, this week is a good week to start. We can only rely on the scriptures we remember. You see, when you are in the wilderness, a Bible on the shelf will not help you. Now, when I was growing up, teachers used to say, don't use a calculator in class. Right? Don't use a calculator to add, subtract, multiply, or divide. Use your mind. because you won't always have a calculator. However, you see one of these things right here? I have a calculator walking around with me right now. But let me tell you something. You see, if we don't practice the rhythm of spending time in holy places, spending time in the secret place of the Most High, you could have a Bible app on your phone, but because you have not been in the practice of going to the Bible app when you are in trouble, you're not going to go to that Bible app when anger comes. When fear comes, you are not going to go to that Bible app. When distress comes, you are not going to go to that Bible app because you have not developed the rhythm of being in the secret place. So I encourage us to build those holy habits. If we think we can battle the crafty one without studying the word and hiding it in our heart, we are setting ourselves up for another slip up. And ignorance is not innocence in spiritual warfare. This is where it gets really tricky. We have to be prepared and prepared well. Why? Because the evil one comes to us with scripture as well. Can anyone tell me in the passage I just read in Matthew, which passage the devil quotes? Psalm 91. That's correct. I owe you a gift card. Psalm 91. But Jesus claps back real quickly with Deuteronomy 6:13. He is always going to twist God's word, and he did it in the garden with Eve, and he did it with Jesus, and he will do it with you and I. You see, the serpent was the most crafty of them all. Craftier than all the other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from that tree in the garden, from any tree in the garden?" If we think we can battle the crafty one without studying the word and hiding it in our hearts, we are setting ourselves up for another slip up. Like Jesus, we have to know and live according to God's word in every single circumstance. So make it a daily habit to study the Holy Bible. Make it a daily habit to study the Holy Bible. Don't miss one single day. Don't miss a day. Make it a holy habit to read the Bible every single day. Psalmist wrote, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I will not sin against you." And the truth is this, I want to help you build a strong offense. So on Thursdays, we have a class at 6:30 p.m. writing through the book of Mark. On Wednesday mornings, men, we have a Bible study at 7 a.m. And I'm going to ask Joey, do you remember what the memory verse for this week is? Let me hear it. There you go. Great job, Joey. And just like I challenge the men on Wednesday mornings, I challenge the folks on Thursday nights. And I'm holding myself accountable too. So the memory verse for this week in the writing through the book of Mark is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. "The time has come," he said. "Repent, believe." Repent and believe in the good news. So, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That, you see what happens when you come to the class? You can correct the pastor. So, I will ask this question. Let me see a show of hands, those who were in the class writing through the book of Matthew. Did that help you in any way in building holy habits? All right. The devil is going to come at us. And the only way that we can clap back with authority is with a reservoir of God's word. And reservoirs are not filled in a moment of crisis. They are filled over time in the word. The greater Moses, Hebrews 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Jesus is the greater Moses. Because you see, where Moses received the law, Jesus embodied the word. Where Moses mediated the covenant, Jesus fulfilled the covenant. Where Moses reflected glory, Jesus revealed glory. And where Moses came shining after being in God's presence, Jesus rose triumphantly. How can we apply this to our lives? Are we intentionally taking action that align our lives daily with God's habits, with his direction, moving towards Jesus? Because nobody stays where they are spiritually and follows Jesus. This is the truth. Before Christ found us, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sin. And if we are to follow Christ, we have to move from where he found us. We either draw near to him or we drift away. We will have to make time. We'll have to make time through solitude, through Bible study, through fasting, through prayer. And I assure you, this list is by no means exhausted. Those things are going to produce in us peace when hard times come, purpose, and the power to do God's will, all propelled by the power of his Holy Spirit. Not casual faith, consistent faithfulness. I tell you, the hour is too serious for the calling, and the calling is too high for holiness, for casual Christianity. The hour is too serious and the calling too high for casual Christianity. We don't answer these questions quickly. I want us to close our eyes for a moment and let the Spirit search you as you reflect on these three questions. What is one small area of obedience God is calling you to practice this week? One small area. When was the last time you intentionally set aside time for solitude with God? And what did you learn in that time? And which scripture could you begin memorizing this week as you prepare for spiritual battles? Listen, church formation requires response. And I'm going to ask us today to rise to the challenge. Are you going to set a daily time for solitude and prayer? Are you going to try to commit to fasting from at least one meal this week, seeking God's will, seeking God's strength, and growing in small steps? Are you going to commit to memorizing at least one verse each week? And I surely want to help with that. So to memorize the verse, write it down on an index card and take the card with you wherever you go. Reflect on it. Pray the verse. We start to practice this in our groups, and I want to hold us all accountable. So next week, I'm going to have a sign-up sheet in the foyer for persons who want to pray together with someone else, persons who want to be held accountable for remembering Bible verses. Church, I want to see us have strong families. I want to see us have strong disciples. Church, I want us to have a strong witness in our community. But we cannot build that on weak habits. This is not just for leaders, for intercessors, for seasoned saints. This is for everyone in this room. We cannot outsource prayer, fasting, and the word to the spiritually mature. These are habits for the whole church. So I challenge you, as I challenge myself, we have to keep building those holy habits. Let us pray. Everlasting God and our Father, we thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you for your example, your sacrifice. You came to this earth as a servant, obedient and faithful. And Lord, may we be proven faithful followers of you. Lord, I pray this morning, just like the gospel message from Mark chapter 1:15, the time has come. Jesus, you said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So I pray right now that for anyone in the hearing of my voice who's never made a decision to follow you, that they would come running to the altar, ready to surrender all to you. And I pray for every single believer in this room, God, that we would continue in a consistent pattern of building holy habits in our lives. Father, may you be glorified. May you be high and lifted up. And as we lift you up, may you continue to draw men, women, boys, girls to you. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.